live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Neffert's view on the further easing of restrictions is positive, according to the Health Minister. Stephen Donnelly was speaking as the Dáil begins a debate on the extension of the government's emergency COVID powers. The British Prime Minister has had to defend his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic following heavy criticism from his former chief advisor, Dominic Cummings. About 10,000 appointments are being cancelled again this week in the South Hospital Group area. As pressure mounts on the government to significantly alter the micro-redress scheme, we'll hear from last night's debate in Dáil Éireann, with pressure coming from all sides. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. That and all those stories to follow. But first, this evening, a man in his 30s remains in Garda custody this evening after two Gardaí were shot during an armed standoff in Dublin. They were injured after responding to reports of gunfire in the Whitechapel Grove housing estate in Blanchardstown. Children were outside playing at the time. Locals say it's lucky that nobody was killed. A man surrendered following over 2 hours of negotiations with Gardaí. Neffert's view on the further easing of restrictions is positive, according to the Health Minister. Cabinet will meet on Friday to consider public health advice on the easing of restrictions through July and beyond. It's expected decisions on dates for indoor dining, live events and international travel will be given later this week. Well, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says the public health view is positive.
Cancorla, I've just come from a meeting with the Chief Medical Officer following Neffert's meeting today in relation to advice that we'll be bringing to Cabinet on Friday. And I'm very happy to report, as I'm sure members will be aware, that Neffert's view is that the trajectory is positive. Again, thanks to the Irish people getting behind the measures day after day after day.
Well, opposition parties want an earlier ending to measures that give power to most of the public health restrictions. The Dáil has begun its debate on the extension of the government's emergency COVID powers. Minister Donnelly says some of them will be needed into the winter. However, Social Democrats co-leader Catherine Murphy said public freedom needs to be taken into account.
This legislation was extended to the 9th of June with the understanding that that would be the sunset clause. That would be the safeguard. We know there are high levels of virus still, and we know that there are risks to variants, and we know that we have to manage and collectively manage that those risks. But we've got to do that and balance it against people's fundamental rights as well.
The British Prime Minister has had to defend his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic following heavy criticism from his former chief advisor. Dominic Cummings has described chaotic scenes to MPs and claimed Boris Johnson initially treated the virus as a scary story. Boris Johnson insists none of the decisions have been easy and that he's tried to minimise loss of life at every stage. Mr Cummings said leadership through the pandemic was a major issue.
It's completely crackers that someone like me should have been in there, just the same as it's crackers that Boris Johnson was in there and that the choice at the last election was Jeremy Corbyn. There are wonderful people inside the civil service, there are brilliant officials all over the place, but the system tends to weed them out from senior management jobs. And the problem in this crisis was very much lions led by donkeys over and over again.
The cyber attack on the HSE almost a fortnight ago continues to make its effects felt. About 10,000 appointments are being cancelled again this week in the Silva Hospital Group, which runs 7 hospitals in the West and Northwest. They include, of course, Letterkenny and Sligo University hospitals. Silva called off a similar number of appointments last week as a result of the cyber attack. And Silva's chief executive, Tony Canavan, says this will have both short and long-term consequences.
There are patients that we know would have attended our hospitals for serious illnesses over the last 10, 11 days at this stage. There's also, I suppose, a longer term impact that we're conscious of as well, that whenever these problems are resolved and whenever we can go back to some sort of normal service delivery, we then will have additional numbers of patients on our waiting list that will require to be seen and will require care. So there's a problem that's building up for the long term as well.
Meanwhile, a senior HSC official says staff and management at Letterkenny University Hospital are working to reduce the risk to patients and deliver care as safely as possible. Dr. Vida Hamilton, the clinical lead for acute hospitals, says the impact of the attack on the hospital sector is unevenly spread and the services at Letterkenny University Hospital remain impacted. Work is ongoing there to roll out a repair to the radiology system. And Dr. Hamilton told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that the cyber attack continues to have a huge impact on patient information systems.
With our radiology systems, they've identified a repair that's called Nimbus in a bubble. So that's Nimbus is our radiology system, and they've developed a solution that's Nimbus in a bubble that was tested last weekend. It's now being rolled out nationally. There are certain things that have to be done at a site level before it can be rolled out. And Letterkenny going live last night, they were working through the night to hopefully have it fully up this morning. That doesn't give you full functionality in terms of your diagnostic, but it would bring you up to about 80%. That'll take some of the pressure off. The other big system that's very impacted is the patient information system. So this is the system that not only allows you access patient notes and historical data, but it also allows you to track a patient along their journey. And the patient information system allows that journey to be tracked to make sure that they get all of the different interventions that they need at the right time. So that journey has been disrupted by not having access to that system for the past 2 weeks. And of course, the longer it goes on, the more patients' journeys are disrupted.
And that was Dr. Vida Hamilton there speaking to Greg Hughes. As pressure mounts on the government to significantly alter the micro-redress scheme, an opposition TD has called for a public inquiry into how the crisis happened. During a dull debate last night, Solidarity People Before Profit TD Breed Smith said she believes there was a lack of oversight in what she described as light-touch self-regulation.
At the weekend, thousands of angry people marched around Donegal and Mayo to demand justice over the use of mica and pyrite in the building of their homes. And their demands are most reasonable and I believe they must be met. They're victims of light touch self-regulation without oversight, recourse or penalties during the building regime which dominated this country in the Celtic Tiger boom. Ironically, the brick supplier in the case of Mike and Donegal, Cassidy's brother, still supplies Donegal County Council with building material and has contracts with them. So these people deserve 100% redress. They deserve all costs for relocation and assessment fully paid and a public inquiry.
Well, Deputy Joe McHugh outlined the political discussion that led to where the scheme is now. He told the Dáil the hope then was that the scheme would work. The truth, he said, is it isn't working.
Minister, in my 20 years in politics, I've never come across an issue which has caused so much stress, anxiety and fear. Campaigners like Anne Owens, Eileen Doherty worked on a scheme that we wanted 100% covered. We were presented with a 70-30 scheme. We worked really hard to cover the scheme completely. We got as far as a 90-10. We accepted it at the time on the basis that it may work. The scheme is not working. It won't work, it can't work, it's not working for so many people. People cannot get access to this scheme. The price of timber has gone up 40%, steel has gone up 35%. The goalposts have completely shifted from this time last year when we were presented with this scheme. It has to be reviewed immediately. It has to be examined and it has to be looked at on the basis of accessibility. Accessibility is not there at the moment and that is a massive issue. What I'm seeing here tonight, Minister, and I've spoken to your colleagues, Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin as well, I've talked to my own party colleagues as well. This is an issue that needs to be sorted around the cabinet table. It needs to be sorted quick because we will be faced with houses falling and then we will have a conversation of a different kind here.
Well, the Minister of State at the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage told the Dáil he believes the micro-redress scheme is fair and equitable and will work for the majority of applicants. Minister Malcolm Noonan said the scheme was designed to give householders flexibility and he said a 10% contribution is appropriate.
The grant limits agreed on foot of this engagement ensures that a scheme can be budgeted for with the potential financial liability known at all times and also to ensure that the available budget can benefit the majority of properties and the maximum number of people, mindful that the scheme is being funded from the Exchequer and the scope cannot be open-ended. The decision to go with a grant scheme as opposed to a type of scheme provided by the Pyrite Remediation Board was intended to give homeowners the flexibility to manage their own projects and allow them to deal directly with the appointed contractor. Initially, the grant was proposed to be 80-20, but following further consideration and political representation, it was changed to 90-10. The Department is formulating the scheme concluded that the contribution of 10% from affected owners was appropriate to control costs, incentivise the use of appropriate remediation options, and to promote the reuse of materials where feasible. This also is in line with how similar government grant schemes operate or have operated in the past. The applicant contributed to the cost is a key requirement. The programme for government sets out a number of commitments in respect of the important policy area of building defects and provides an examination of defects in housing, having regard to the recommendations of the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Housing Safest Houses report. In this regard, my Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage has been actively engaging with key stakeholders, and the Minister has had several meetings with stakeholder representative groups on this matter. The Minister appointed Seamus Neely, former Chief Executive of Donegal County Council, to the position of Chair of the Independent Working Group, and the Chair will oversee the effective implementation of the group's terms of reference.
And that was Minister Malcolm Noonan there speaking in Dáil Éireann last night. That full debate can be heard on our website, highlandradio.com. The fishing industry is warning that the sector may not be viable for future generations due to post-Brexit quotas. More than 60 trawlers sailed from Roches Point to the Cork City docks today as part of a protest against the measures. They've delivered a list of demands to the Taoiseach's Cork office calling for 15% quotas to be reversed. Patrick Murphy, CEO of the Irish South and West Fish Producers Organisation, says the industry is now on its knees.
We already had a small quota share. We're down to around 15% of the fish in our own waters, the richest fishing grounds in Europe. So 85% of all the fish caught in Irish waters are gifted to other people, and we're expected to decommission, put men and women out of jobs and future generations with no hope in the richest fishing grounds in the world.
Well, earlier Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConlogue says he's investigating every potential avenue to resolve the situation.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all your training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. Two police officers and a solicitor have been acquitted of being accused of perverting the course of justice following the Hillsborough disaster. A judge ruled the trio had no case to answer. It had been alleged that helped change officer statements to minimise blame on South Yorkshire Police after the 1989 tragedy. 96 Liverpool football supporters died at the stadium in Sheffield. Liverpool FC say Hillsborough victims have been let down yet again. Well, the Mayor of Greater Manchester says the justice system has undermined the families of those who died. Manchester United midfielder Bruno Fernandes has called on his teammates to fight for their Europa League trophy tonight. The Red Devils take on Villarreal in Poland, hoping to add to the club's 7 European titles. They will be without injured captain Harry Maguire, who's nursing an ankle ligament injury. Fernandes believes they can still end the current 4-year silverware drought at Old Trafford.
Doesn't matter if the club doesn't win for many years, the hunger to win and the hope to win is still there, and we want to do it. As I said before, trophies are part of this club. I think everyone knows that. I think every player, when signed to this club, he knows he will come to fight for trophies.
Kickoff in Gdansk in Poland is at 8:00 this evening. Celtic say they hope to finalise the appointment of their new manager shortly. John Kennedy has been in temporary charge following Neil Lennon's resignation back in February. Former Bournemouth boss Eddie Howe was the overwhelming favourite to take over at Parkhead. On the cycling front, Dan Martin has claimed his first ever stage win on the Giro d'Italia. The Irish rider was part of an initial breakaway group 140 kilometres from the end of today's stage. With 10k to go, Martin was on his own and eventually crossed the line 13 seconds ahead of Joan Meldea. Martin ends the day 7th in general classification, over 7 minutes off the pink jersey holder, who is the leader, Egan Bernal. 4 Ulster grounds will welcome back a limited number of supporters this weekend, with 500 fans apiece being able to watch the home games of Armagh, Tyrone, Fermanagh and Antrim. But teams involved in games in Ulster outside of the 6 counties will not be permitted travelling fans. Donegal will get 50 complimentary tickets for non-playing players and county board officials for their game in Armagh, with the home support set to get an allocation of 450. Donegal chairman Mick McGrath told Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show this morning saying it is unfair and that Donegal don't agree with the GAA's management decision.
We're a national 32-county organisation, and we would have expected, as one round of the league is to continue on Saturday, which is the final round of the league, that we would have continued playing with the same playing rules and guidelines as we've done for the rest of the competition. So by continuing on Saturday night with no admission, we would have been an equality decision, and there would have been no problems with it. By the decision that they have taken over the last 24 hours has left an imbalance, and without a doubt, where there's 450 Armagh fans in the ground and 50 from Donegal, that's definitely not an equal decision. So I don't think it. We wouldn't agree here in Donegal. We certainly wouldn't agree with the management decision of how they went around it nationally. But we never looked at a divide of a border. We never looked at 6 counties or 26 counties. We looked at a 32 county battle against COVID, and that's what our organisation was doing. That this decision has been taken now hasn't sat well with us. We certainly are annoyed with it and unhappy with it.
In other Gaelic Games news, HSE Midwest say no match footage was reviewed in determining two Clare players as close contacts of positive COVID cases in the Wexford squad. Clare GAA have backed hurling manager Brian Lohan after he claimed two of his players were identified following discussions between Wexford and the HSE. HSE Midwest say assessments are made based on conversations with positive cases. After nearly 18 months outside the ring, Jason Quigley is back this weekend in Las Vegas. He takes on Shane Mosley Jr. on Saturday night with the NABO middleweight title on the line. It will be Jason's first fight since January 2020. Jason is under trainer Andy Lee since he suffered his first loss over 2 years ago. Lee says Jason is now a better and controlled fighter.
I don't think you really realise the impact of what a loss would have, and you've seen what, like you said, the subsequent 2 years have been. He's had two fights, and they've been against, nobody's really. He's had to wait and work hard for 2 years to get back onto to the bigger stage. He's had to work hard. What you'll see and what I'm seeing in the gym now is somebody who's in control of himself at all times during a round and knows why he's doing the things in the round or in the exchanges or in the moments. He knows what he's doing, he knows why he's doing and what it will lead to. So he's a lot more in control of himself when he's fighting.
Finally, in golf, Graham McDowell has failed to qualify for next month's US Open. He won the major back in 2010, and the 10-year exemption expired last year. McDowell did not complete round two of the qualifier in Dallas yesterday evening, and opening 70 left him level par with four under the final qualifying mark. That's your sport for today. Don't look back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed. Oisin, Andrew McGinley says the appearance of horrific and rancid comments on a Facebook page dedicated to his children is the reason he shut the page down. His wife Deirdre was last week found not guilty of murdering Connor, Dara and Carla by reason of insanity. Since his children's deaths, Andrew has started a number of projects aimed at celebrating the all too short lives of his daughter and two sons. Andrew says he'd been considering abandoning Facebook for some time.
Over the past year and a half, I've directly seen myself, absolute horrific comments made about me and my family and Dee. But particularly last year, I was actually going to abandon Facebook last year. There was one horrific, horrific comment that stunned me when I saw it.
A Donegal deputy has called on Letterkenny University Hospital to end maternity restrictions. Deputy Pierce Doherty says not allowing partners or family members attend appointments, scans or be present during the mother's labour is cruel. He says while it's to be welcomed that the new maternity suite at the hospital has opened, the issue of support during hospital scans and visits remains an issue. And Deputy Doherty says management at Letterkenny University Hospital need to review their policy.
I think what is happening in Letterkenny, and unfortunately it's happening in a number of other hospitals, is now cruel. It's not fair to expectant mothers that their partners are restricted only to the 20-week scan and for a short time prior and after the birth at LUH. From the world World Health Organization down to the CEO of the HSC, to the head of NPHET, Professor Tony Houlihan, to the Taoiseach himself, to the Minister for Health, and all the political parties have calling for these restrictions to be lifted, yet management in certain hospitals still are imposing these type of restrictions. Unfortunately, for some, going through these scans aren't always a time of joy. Sometimes very heartbreaking information is passed to the parents, and to not be supported by your loved one at that time is not acceptable. And I would call on the management of Letterkenny University Hospital to immediately announce the ending of these restrictions and allow pregnant women to be supported right throughout their childbirth experience.
And restrictions have been lifted at some hospitals, so it's vital now that this is across the board.
Yes, absolutely. Like, and look, you know, we can understand where restrictions have to be, unfortunately, be put in place in relation to public health. The management in the hospital should come on to the local radio and explain why this has happened so far, but also, more importantly, announce that it is now coming to an end.
Deputy Pierce Doherty there speaking to Michaela Clark. A Donegal estate agent says the COVID-19 pandemic has had a major impact on the housing market in the county, particularly in terms of remote working. Speaking on Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast with Kieran O'Donnell, Boyd Robinson said he's been extremely busy since the start of the pandemic. He says there are three factors currently driving the local property market.
There's three factors you can say is driving the market in Donegal at the moment. And those three factors would be, you've got the Northern Holidaymaker who during the COVID period have sat down and they've said, you know what, we're not going to be going away for a while. Let's go and buy that house we've always wanted in Donegal. So you have that rush coming in. You also have the Dublin market starting to hit Donegal in a big way, something that we never really seen. You would have noticed in Donegal last summer, a lot more southern cars coming to the county, and they've come up, they've discovered, Donegal's starting to be discovered. Social media is putting it on the market, and that's also driving the holiday home market. And then you also have the remote working, and to me that's in a much bigger scale than people actually realise. There's not only do we have the Donegal people coming back to Donegal to remote work, we also have people taking Donegal as a destination to come and work because of, you know, the beauty that we have, the beaches that we have, and the tranquility, you know, and they're able to work from home. Internet's been a massive thing in Donegal, and, you know, you have to really take your hats off to the people that have provided us with such good internet facilities.
And that was Boyd Robinson there, and you can hear that full podcast, Business Matters, on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, the forecast and Met Aaron tell us it will stay dry this evening with some light northerly or variable breezes, a chance possibly of a few light showers. Tonight, mainly dry again with clear spells, a few fog and mist patches may develop with light variable breezes. Lowest temperatures overnight, 2 to 4 degrees Celsius. Mainly dry to begin tomorrow morning, again brighter sunny spells, but cloud will increase from the west during the morning with outbreaks of rain. Highest temperatures tomorrow, 15 to 18 degrees Celsius in light to moderate southeasterly breezes. News in brief, and a man in his 30s remains in Gardaí custody this evening after two Gardaí were shot during an armed standoff in Dublin. They were injured after responding to reports of gunfire in the Whitechapel Grove housing estate in Blanchardstown. NPHET's view on the further easing of restrictions is positive, according to the Health Minister. Cabinet will meet on Friday to consider public health advice. Meanwhile, opposition parties want an earlier ending to the measures giving power to most of the public health restrictions. The Dáil is this evening debating ending or extending the government's emergency COVID powers, with an extension being sought by the government until November. The British Prime Minister has had to defend his handling of the pandemic following heavy criticism from his former chief advisor, Dominic Cummings. And a senior HSE officer says staff and management at Letterkenny University Hospital are working to reduce the risk to patients as a result of the cyber attack. Back with more at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday, the 26th of May. The death has taken place at Milesian Manor, Mahara Felt, of Reverend Father Brian O'Donnell. Father Brian's remains are reposing in St Mary's Church, Laffey. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are limited to family and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed at churchmedia.tv/camera/Church of Our Lady of Mercy. The death has taken place of Mary Doherty, Penna, Breda, Glen, Moville. funeral from her home on Friday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Ballinacrae, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Ardhaven Carndonagh, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Maura Condon, Muff, née O'Donnell, formerly of Mulladuff. Her remains will repose at Bedlin's funeral home this evening from 6 to 9. Removal from there tomorrow evening at 6:15 to St Mary's Church, Kincashla, via Mulladuff for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 with burial afterwards in Belcritch Cemetery. In line with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of John Francis, Sean McGovern, Ard Farna, Gundoran, County Donegal, formerly of Auchnashiellan, Balnamore, County Leitrim and Rohini, Dublin. Removal from his home on Friday morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Auchnashiellan, via Kinloch, Manor Hamilton and Balnamore for funeral mass at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In keeping with HSE guidelines, the funeral will be restricted to family and close friends with a maximum of 50 people permitted. It can be viewed live on churchtv.ie/Auchnashiellan. The death has taken place of Patrick Gill, Cooper, Hilltown, Cock Hill, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Removal from there on Friday morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Cock Hill. The death has taken place of Micheál O'Bhéal, Michael Boyle, Santry, Dublin 9, formerly of Parnell Street, Dublin 1, formerly of Sheskinarone, Dunloe, Ballymacahill, Frosses and Stranaloch, Glenties. His remains will repose at his late residence in Santry from this evening. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock in the Chapel of the Blessed Margaret Ball, Santry, with burial afterwards in Mahary Cemetery, Dunloe, County Donegal, at approximately 4 o'clock. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of Jean Hanlon, née Stewart, 66, the Glebe, Stranorler. Funeral from her late residence tomorrow afternoon at 20 to 2 for a service of thanksgiving in Stranorler Parish Church at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Funeral service of thanksgiving will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to Stranorler Parish Church, care of any family member. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.